In James chapter 5, James chapter 5, beginning with verse 13, we read, "Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Is any among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. I am not a faith healer, but I am convinced that faith heals all kinds of difficulties and troubles. I'm also convinced that that kind of faith is seen in the prayers that we offer to God for the sick and the suffering. And so this evening we want to consider prayer. We want to consider the prayer of faith and keep in mind all the things that we say about prayer. We're talking about a prayer of faith, like the prayer of Elijah, a prayer that is offered with trust and hope and dependence upon God. And know that even our prayers for comfort and healing are prayers that are expressions of our faith in God and our dependence upon Him. And so we want to consider some of these things this evening. Timely is the topic, because we have a number of folks with health issues. We have those who are going to be traveling. We have those who are suffering sorrow from loss. And so I hope that this lesson will be of benefit to each of us in whatever our difficulty or struggle may be, and in helping and encouraging one another. And the first thing that we want to consider is that prayer is an expression of love. Both our love for God and our love for our fellow man. Despite what some have complained about when we say our thoughts and prayers are with you, those who understand what we're talking about know that we are expressing our love and concern. They know, and we ourselves, in offering those prayers, are demonstrating that we love that person. We have care and concern for their situation, and we are doing one of the only things we know that is sure to help. Now, I'm not a first aid guy. I'm not good. If you get a cut on your arm and it's bleeding, it's possible I'll pass out before we get it covered up. But I can pray for you. And I'm convinced that each and every one of us can do that. And when we do that, we are demonstrating love. Look at what Paul said in Romans chapter 12. There's a connection here that maybe we don't always make. He says, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality." We have an easy time seeing that last sentence as connecting with love being genuine. Let's understand that continuing in prayer is also a part of letting love be genuine. Praying for those who are in need, those who are suffering, those who are sorrowing, those who have surgeries coming up, who have health issues, is an expression of our love and care for them. And it's not just an expression to them, but it's an expression to God that we care. One of the greatest things we can do to show our love for our brethren is go to God in prayer on their behalf, maybe even when nothing's wrong. pray for our brethren, that God would be with them, that God would bless them and help them. But certainly, when there are difficulties. In Colossians chapter 4, beginning in verse 2, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, Paul says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, Paul says, pray for us also that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. I think this is one of those passages where the example that we have before us teaches us the lesson. Paul doesn't just say pray. He says pray for this. And not just pray for this, but pray for this because I want this to happen. He says, pray for me because I want to be bold in speaking the word. And while we can see the direct application of that in praying for our brothers who are preaching the gospel in foreign places, for our preachers and our elders and our Bible class teachers, understand the principle of that example matters in other areas as well. Paul gives us this example, teaching us that we can pray for specific outcomes, hoping that those things come to pass. Prayer offers us the opportunity to give consolation and support to those who are troubled by sorrow and pain, sickness. And it expresses our hope and gratitude, which is a part of demonstrating love to God for His care. Prayer is an expression of our love for our fellow man, and for God. We need to keep that in mind as we consider prayer and its usefulness in our life. But also, prayer, while we recognize prayer requires faith, we're talking about faithful prayer, the prayer of faith here. Understand, prayer is also an expression of our faith. Think about that for a minute. When we go to God in prayer and say, God, please help me with this, what we're doing is we're saying, God, I have faith in You. I know that I can depend on You. Whatever you ask in prayer, Jesus tells us in Matthew 21, verse 23, 22, you will receive if you have faith. We need to have faith in God and His ability to answer, but understand, our prayer itself is an expression of faith in God and an expression of faith in our fellow man. Because when we pray for someone who is going to undergo surgery, for example, we not only pray for that individual, but we pray also for their family. We pray for the doctors, that they might have the skill to perform the surgery and to do what is necessary to help one return. We pray, when we pray for someone who is sorrowing because of the loss or death of someone in the family, we not only pray about them and their family, but we also pray that we and the brethren might be able to support them. And in doing so, we're saying, God, I put my trust in You and in my fellow brethren to do what we know we ought to do. It's an expression of faith. It's a part of what the Hebrew writer is talking about when he says there in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek after Him. We put our trust and our hope in God. And we go to Him with faith, trusting that He will do as He has promised. That's what James is talking about in James chapter 1. Beginning in verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. We go to God, trust and knowing that He will do what He says He will do. And also with faith in ourselves and those others that might be of assistance to us, that God will use them to work in us, in this example, that we might gain wisdom. You know, when we pray for wisdom, we're not just praying for it to fall in our heads overnight one night while we're dreaming on our pillow. We're praying for a better understanding of the Scripture as we read through it, for assistance to understand some of those passages that may be more difficult for us. And that assistance might come from one of our brothers and sisters in Christ, from our spouse, from sometimes even from our children. We glean things that give us wisdom. And so, even a prayer for wisdom is an expression of faith in God. We need to recognize the need to have faith, but we also need to see how offering prayer to God is an expression of our faith. And it's an important part of demonstrating our understanding that He is with us and He will help us. Another that goes along with this idea is that prayer is an expression of our dependence upon God. We touched on this just a moment ago when we were talking about our faith and trust in the Lord. Turn with me to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 9. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Do you understand the lesson that Jesus is teaching here with this parable? We read that word humble, oh, he's teaching us humility, but there's more to it than that. It's not just the idea of humility. When you look at the difference between these two prayers, that Pharisee was talking about how he'd taken care of everything himself. "Look at all the things that I have done for you, God. I thank you, God, that I'm able to accomplish all of this and that I'm keeping myself out of this and out of that." But the tax collector, in his prayer to God, acknowledges that everything he needs, he depends upon God to receive it. He said, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." In other words, "God, I know that I can't do any of this on my own. I put my trust, I depend on you." And when we go to God in prayer about our sorrows and our sufferings and our difficulties in life, what we are doing is we are demonstrating or expressing our dependence upon God. When we go about our life without taking the time to talk to God about what's going on in our life, we are expressing by our action and our lack of prayer that I can take care of it myself. And there's not a one of us who walks this earth that can do that. I mean, most of us are pretty good at tying our shoes, but you get much beyond that, and we're going to need some help with just about everything we have to do in life that matters. And you'll notice I wear boots, so I don't have to tie my shoes. We're dependent upon God and praying to God about how things are going in our life, about our struggles and about our difficulties, is an expression to God and to the world around us that knows that we go to God in prayer, that we depend upon God. Now, that doesn't mean that in order for us to let folks know that we depend upon God, we have to stand out on the street corner and with our heads up like this and speak to God where everybody sees. We've got other instruction about talking to God in private. Don't make a show of our prayers. But I guarantee you, your neighbors know whether you're a prayerful person or not. If they're familiar with you at all, they know whether you pray to God. We demonstrate our dependence upon God when we go to Him in prayer, especially when we go to God in prayer about just how things are going in our life. It's a reminder to us that it's because of God that we have these things. In Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4, Philippians 4, beginning in verse 4, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Most often when we go to this passage, we connect it with Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 and the verses above that about don't get anxious about what you're going to wear and those sort of things. And we talk about how this passage tells us that we ought to go to God with the things that would cause us anxiety, the things that might cause us worry. And we ought to lay them at God's feet and let Him take them off of us. But that's not all Paul's talking about here. Notice at the beginning of verse 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, no matter what's happening to you, rejoice in the Lord." And I think we can carry that through this passage. In fact, he says, "In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." No matter what it is, talk to God about it in prayer. Demonstrate your dependence upon God, even for your daily food. That's why we teach our children to say a prayer before they eat a meal, right? And while we continue to do that even after our children leave home, we're demonstrating our dependence upon God. I tell you, if there ever was an example of someone who vocally exercised his dependence upon God, it was David. A couple of Psalms that I want us to read this evening. First off, Psalm 34. Psalm 34. The title I have in my Bible over this psalm, "The Lord, a Provider and Deliverer." David says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to Him and were radiant, and their face will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him, and rescues them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. For those who fear Him, there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned." Over and over in that psalm, and in so many more of the psalms, David emphasizes how we depend upon God because we know he will do what he said he would do. David turned to God time and time again in his life because he knew God was there for him. I want you to know that when we cry out to God for relief from sorrow and pain, he hears. Those who belong to the Lord have an avenue of comfort that no other person on the face of the earth can even understand. That's a part of what Paul's telling us there in the Philippian letter. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter how dark and dank our life may seem, we can go to God and receive comfort and strength. We can trust in God. We know that He will always be there for us. One more of the Psalms. Psalm 51. Psalm 51. The title over this psalm is A Contrite Sinner's Prayer for Pardon. What I see in this psalm is one who recognizes his error and goes to God seeking forgiveness with confidence that it will come. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips that my mouth may declare your praise. For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, O God. You will not despise. By your favor, do good to Zion, build the walls of Jerusalem, then you will delight in righteous sacrifices, in burnt offering and whole offering, then the young bulls will be offered at your altar. I want to read the explanation at the top of that psalm. It says this is a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. And I have to wonder if this is a part of what David was praying when he was going in prayer to God regarding the child that was born that he knew was going to die. Going to God, seeking forgiveness, knowing that he was the one that had caused the wrong, but that only God could take the sin away from him. You see, we're not just dependent upon God for the physical needs of life, for comfort and strength. It's not just in those situations that we go to God. It is God and God alone who can free us from our sins. The Word of God gives us instruction about what it is that we need to do in order to be pleasing unto God. But it is God who forgives. And as John tells us, He is faithful and just to forgive us when we come to Him expressing a desire for such forgiveness, having turned from our sins. That's what John chapter 1 verse 9 is all about. 1 John 1 9 is all about. We can trust that God will do what He said. We depend upon God for every aspect of our life. Finally, I'm convinced that prayer is an expression of thanksgiving. I'm not just talking about prayer where we actually say, thank you, God. I'm convinced that prayer itself, the desire to go to God and to talk to Him, the desire to converse with Him regarding what's going on in our life, I'm convinced that that in itself is an expression of thanksgiving. Certainly, we need to thank God. Give thanks always and for everything to God our Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul tells us in Ephesians 5 and verse 20. As we read in verse 6 of Philippians chapter 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Continue steadfastly in prayer and watchful in it with thanksgiving. Those are the words of the Apostle Paul. But I'm convinced that when we go to God in prayer, we're actually expressing, by going and talking to Him, an attitude of thankfulness for what He's done for us and what we know He will do for us. Because we are willing to approach Him in a humble manner, recognizing that we are entirely dependent upon Him and we are trustful of Him. There's our faith. Because prayer is an expression of our love for God. It also expresses our willingness and our thankfulness for what He has done, giving thanks in all circumstances. When we pray to the Lord above, we express thankfulness. I think these are four things that we need to keep in mind. Probably there's a half a dozen more that I didn't think of when I was bringing these thoughts together. These are four things that we need to keep in mind in regards to prayer. And these four things are of benefit to us individually. Expressing our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ and for God by going to God in prayer on their behalf, by thanking God for the things that He's done for us and acknowledging our dependence upon Him and our inability to take care of ourselves without His help and His assistance. Going to God in prayer and expressing through that understanding of dependence that we have faith and trust in God. These things benefit and strengthen us. They give us a staff to help carry us through the difficult and trying times of life. My two brothers, their sons and my son, are taking off on a hike up in the Appalachians this week. One of the things I noticed that every single one of them had, they've been posting pictures about what all they're doing. One of the things I noticed every single one of them had is either one or two sticks to walk with. They got fancy aluminums with handles and straps and all kinds of stuff. They got something to support them and help them as they walk through. Prayer is our walking stick to some degree. I hesitate to make such things because somebody's going to take that and say, no, that don't work. It doesn't match up with a walking stick. But it is. It's something we can lean on so we can stand up as we strive to get through this life. I don't do a lot of walking myself, but I have in the past. And after you walk for a certain length of time, you start getting tired. And if you're having to walk somewhere, you may need something to help hold you up in order to get there. And isn't that what happens in life? We lose somebody that's special to us. And it gets hard. And we don't know whether we're going to be able to continue. Well, I'll tell you what. Your prayer to God and the brethren's prayer to God will hold you up and help you go through. I know that. We've got sickness. We've got injuries and difficulties. I mean, some of us are wearing out a little bit. been used a long time. Things aren't working like they used to. And we can go to God and say, God, help me with this. Now, He may not get rid of the sharp pain in your neck because the surgery is not working like you thought it would. But He'll still give you the strength to continue on. We can go to God and say, God, not only be with me, but watch over the surgeons that are going to be doing the surgery. Lord, watch over and make sure that they're using all their skills. Father, be with my family. See, we can go to God in prayer, and there's a support for us. It'll hold us up. And the more difficult times we have to walk through, the more we need to go to God in prayer. And folks, if we are always going to God in prayer, if we're using prayer regularly in our life, we already know that God is listening, God is waiting to hear from us. We've already seen how God fulfills His end of the bargain. So that gives us that much more confidence. And we go to God in prayer. So going to God in prayer when everything's going great and thanking for how well things are going is not just so we can keep in touch with Him, but it keeps in mind our dependence upon Him and the ability we have to just put everything in His hands. He's there to help us. And He will help us through anything that will get us to heaven. See, that's where we come in. Sometimes we won't get the answer we want. Well, that's because that thing wasn't necessary for us to get to heaven. Or this needed to be the direction rather than this, so that we can remain faithful to God, so that we can grow stronger and serve Him, and we can be with Him in eternity. Because, as we've said before, that's what it's all about. It's not about getting through this one. It's about getting to eternity with God. And we keep that in mind with our prayers and being our confidence in God. They are a strong pillar and support for us, and they are an expression of our trust and hope and dependence upon God, our love for Him, and the thankfulness we have that God is on our side. If you have difficulties, pray to God. If you have things that you're struggling with that you need the prayer of the brethren, let the brethren know. They will pray with you and for you. If you've got sin in your life, correct it. And pray to God seeking forgiveness. He's promised that He will. In fact, He'll wipe it out as if it had never been. And you can have hope of being with Him for eternity. We can assist in that, especially that, helping you get to heaven. Opportunity is yours. Why not enter the call of Jesus as we stand and say,